Will you pray with me? Our Father and our God, great is your holiness, your righteousness, your goodness toward us. We thank you this morning, Father God, for making a way for us when there seemed to be no way, for snatching us out of darkness and bringing us into your light. We thank you for your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, this morning, for his example, for his death, for his resurrection physically and bodily from the dead. And Father, we gather this morning as a family to worship your name together in spirit and in truth, to set the name of the Lord Jesus Christ higher and higher. And we ask you to be pleased to dwell among us. Be pleased to visit us in this place today, to heal, to bless, to set free, to give new hope and new life and vitality to each one of us. Have your way in this place. Word my mouth. Let the words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart, be acceptable in your sight. Give us eyes so that we can see your light, and give us ears so that we will hear what the Holy Spirit would say to us today. I pray for those of us this morning, Father God, who are going through stress and struggles in the trials of life. Father God, I pray that by your Holy Spirit, will begin to open doors, that you'll begin to drive the darkness away, that you will give hope into every situation, that you'll bring joy and gladness to our salvation, that you'll bless us indeed and enlarge our territory, that you'll renew our hearts and renew our minds. Give us new hope and new life and new light to see you more clearly. In Jesus' name, amen. There was a famous music composer who said, "Tell me with whom you associate, and I will tell you who you are. Tell me with whom you associate, and I will tell you who you are." Meaning that a person is judged by the company he keeps. And unfortunately, for many churches today, this spiritual gift of faith is often held in deep suspicion, and in some circles even held in contempt, all because of its association with those in the Word of Faith movement. We don't like to talk a whole lot about faith because we feel like if we talk about faith and God doing supernatural things through prayer, that somehow we're a part of this movement that is false doctrine and unbiblical. And unfortunately, faith has received such a bad rap that oftentimes we don't seek to understand it or to cherish it for what it truly is and what it is to the body of Christ. For those of you who don't know, the Word of Faith is a worldwide Christian movement which teaches that Christians can access the power of God through faith and through their speech. It teaches that we believe that God wants all of us to be wealthy and healthy, and that's what salvation is all about, a health and wealth type doctrine. That's Word of Faith. Some people bristle at the very idea of that. That God would be used like an ATM machine, and faith were a debit card by which we gain access to the wealth and to the riches of the world. How dare they? How dare they propose to us that the purpose of faith is to make men and women rich or to make people whole? How dare they? The primary purpose of our faith is that we may be justified in Jesus Christ when we stand before God. That's all faith is about. I think all of us here would agree with that statement, right? That we are saved by grace through faith. That's not of ourselves, it is a gift from God, but that is saving faith. The faith to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that Jesus Christ was sent from God the Father, that he died on the cross, and that he has risen physically and bodily from the dead, and that confession is saving faith. But that is not the gift of faith that Paul is talking about in our text today. The gift of faith that Paul is describing for us here can be defined as the supernatural ability to pray in such a way that brings all of heaven to one's aid. The supernatural ability to pray in such a way that brings all of heaven to one's aid, the gift of faith. The supernatural ability to trust and believe God for things that seem impossible and to see those things come to fruition. The gift of faith. So that those Word of Faith people are not altogether incorrect in their estimation of the power of faith. Faith is indeed a power. Faith is the currency that brings heaven down to earth and gives us access to divine means of accomplishing God's will in the world. Faith is a power. And like it or not, one of the means by which God accomplishes his will in this world is sometimes through material blessing. That's just a fact. God has indeed equipped some of us within the body with this divine ability to view things that are not as though they already were, to call things out of the invisible realm into the visible world. That is the gift of faith. But just as the Corinthians tended to value the word of wisdom and the word of knowledge and view some of the other gifts as being inferior, so we sometimes distance ourselves from this gift of faith as either unnecessary or irrelevant. And it is neither of those things. This is why Paul has written this brief essay to us here, so that we might learn to esteem every spiritual gift as both necessary and inherently beneficial to the body of Christ. This is what he teaches us. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, starting at verse 4. There are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of ministries and the same Lord. There are varieties of effects, but the same God who works all things in all persons. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit. To another is given the word of knowledge according to the same Spirit. And to another, faith by the same Spirit. The gift of faith is by the same Spirit. So that faith is not to be viewed as superior. Faith is not to be viewed as inferior, but as equal to all of the spiritual gifts and necessary for the church to accomplish God's will in the world. The gift of faith is just as necessary as the word of knowledge and the word of wisdom. The gift of faith has been given to Christ's church for our common good. But in Romans chapter 12, verse 3, Paul informs us that God has given to each believer a measure of faith. Meaning that we are not all able to believe to the same degree. You know people in your own life who have stronger faith than yours, who've been through the trials of life and kept a smile on their face because they were somehow confident that God had their back. That strong faith, the gift of faith. Yeah. Each one of us has been given a measure. One person has been given just enough faith to be saved. There are some people who have just enough faith to come into the kingdom. They tend to worry a lot and doubt a lot and be very fearful. They only had enough faith to be saved. Another person has been given just enough faith to accomplish God's calling for his life. Just enough faith. Other of us have been given enough faith to stand beneath the rigors and the hardships of this life that we encounter in the world and stand strong, just enough faith to bear the pain and the suffering of this world. But then there are others among us who have been given the extraordinary ability to transcend present reality, to peer into heaven's ideal, and to call things down from heaven, changing the situation on the earth, opening doors for themselves and opening doors for others by the power of faith alone. These are God's builders, gifted individuals who do most of their work on their knees. Gifted believers with license from God to bombard heaven, to stroll past the cherubim and the seraphim, to stroll past their fears, to leap over walls, to jump over buildings, to bypass every limitation, gain audience with God, and receive the thing that she has asked of him. These are people with the gift of faith. The gift of faith is possibly one of the most powerful and necessary of all the spiritual gifts, believe it or not. Faith is so necessary to our walk with Jesus Christ that the Bible mentions faith at least 378 times. And it only mentions love 348 times. That's how important faith is to our walk with Christ. It is extremely important. This is not to say that faith is superior to love. No, that is not the case. But it does give us an idea of just how vital faith is to the movement of the body. We know from Scripture that Jesus talked about faith very often in his earthly ministry. I want to read some of these sayings of Jesus about faith to you today. In Mark chapter 9, verse 23, Jesus declares that faith can accomplish the impossible. It says, Jesus said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible for one who believes. I got to go kind of charismatic on you with this one. Because I know sometimes we start talking about faith, that people start thinking about magic and stuff like that. No, no. Jesus said this. We can't just nuance this away. Jesus said that if you have faith, all things are possible. Do you believe that? When you really believe that, do you know how your fear just begins to dissipate? When you're so confident that everything is possible and nothing is impossible for me. I don't want to get ahead of myself. I'm not going to get ahead of myself. Jesus teaches us again in Matthew chapter 15, verse 28, that through faith we can receive our heart's desires. It says, then Jesus answered her, O woman, great is your faith. Be it done for you as you desire. Why? Because you have great faith. Be it done to you as you desire. My objective today is not to preach the gift of faith into you, because the gift of faith can't just be preached into you. My objective today is to help us to realize the power of faith and the necessity of faith within the body of believers. To acknowledge that this gift of faith is essential to our walk with Christ. And that we need to be able to identify those among us who have that supernatural capacity, so that we can learn how to lean on them in times of trouble. The gift of faith. Jesus says all things will be possible to you. Matthew chapter 17, verse 20. He tells us that faith makes everything possible. Truly I tell you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible. I have to pause right there, because that's so challenging. Jesus said, if you have faith, you can say to this mountain, I want you to just move a couple of inches to the left. You're kind of blocking my view. And the mountain will get up and move over, because nothing will be impossible to you. And why not? Because nothing is impossible to God. And you are in Christ, who is in God. And if you believe it, nothing is impossible to you. That is something to hang your hat on right there, man. Jesus said that himself to us. Don't worry about what's going on. If you pray, if you believe, Jesus says you can cause any mountain to move. Now, everybody doesn't have this ability. We know that. Everyone has a measure of faith. But when you find that person within the body who has that special gift and you tap into them, when you come to a roadblock in your life, you say, I need you to pray for me. I believe you have that gift of faith that can move mountains. I need you to move this mountain for me. You know what? Every hill doesn't have to be climbed. We don't have to climb every mountain. We don't have to suffer through every struggle. Sometimes, if we are interdependent, sometimes we can go to our brothers and sisters and say, will you move this out of the way for me? Those brothers or sisters who have the gift of faith can pray for you, can put your name on their prayer list, and can go to God on your behalf in their prayer closet, and you will begin to see change in your life. I've lived it, I do it, I know it. I am certain of it. It's not a proposition or a conjecture. This is the truth. Nothing shall be impossible to you. Doesn't mean you're not gonna go through things in life. You're gonna go through things regardless whether you have faith or not. This is life. But the beautiful thing about having faith, so we were living in Gary, Indiana, young couple, young children at home. I'm trying to find the right kind of job that fits me. I can't seem to find it. Not making enough money, lights being cut off, water being cut off. It was all kinds of just turmoil and trouble. My family would come to see about it. How you doing, man? I mean, a lot of bad things happened to you. I had a confidence. God is good. They come in the middle of the night, I have my candle on my table with my Bible open, reading the scriptures. You don't have any lights. God is good. Because the gift of faith was so strong that it didn't matter. I already knew everything is possible and God is going to work all of these things out for my good. That is faith. That is faith that runs through walls and leaps over buildings. That is faith. That is supposed to be our kingdom experience. That's what Jesus said. I'm not making that up. We run past those kinds of scriptures because it seems so impossible and impractical and I don't know. That's kind of mystical. Jesus lived his life that way. He told his disciples to live their lives that way. He calls us to live our lives by faith. According to the measure that you have, but some have the special measure, this gift of faith. Nothing will be impossible to you. And just so we're clear, faith is not belief that is devoid of fruit. Faith produces results. I'm not talking about just believing and being confident and content because God is just good. No, faith says, this will pass, this will get better, I am coming out, nothing can stop me. Faith says, I will have whatever things I say. Then faith stands still in the calmness and the stillness that can only be described as divine and waits for the manifestation of the thing it has called forth. That is faith. And it works. Faith brings things to pass. Faith is not just an easy believism. Faith commands things to come to pass. And faith proves itself every single time. Faith proves itself. Jesus guaranteed that faith will prove itself. Jesus says, Matthew chapter 21, verse 22, and whatever you ask in prayer, you will receive if you have faith. That's what he said. How many of us believe that? How many of us truly believe that? That whatever we ask, we will receive. Now, of course, you need to be guided by the Holy Spirit, so that you're not asking for ridiculous things and thinking this is some kind of a magic trick. But whatever you call to come forward out of the heavenly realm, you believe that it will come forward. I live my life this way. So I'm not talking today about what I'm guessing, about what I live my life this way. I am confident that God is going to supply all of my needs according to his riches and glory, irregardless of my circumstances, and I stand still and I wait. I'm not going to try to make it happen. God is going to do it, and I'm going to stand right here and see the manifestation of the power and glory of God in my life. I'm sure of it. I don't know how. This is the gift of faith. I don't know how I'm sure of it, but I'm certain. Some people think it's cocky. Some people think it's overconfident. No, it's just knowing God and believing in the power of God and believing that God loves me so much that he would never deny me the desires of my heart. Now, I'm here to tell you today, God always comes through for me. God always comes through for me. God will always come through for you. Nothing will be impossible to you. The gift of faith. But if you don't have the gift of faith, you want to nuance this teaching of Jesus to make it conform to your own personal life experiences. This can't be the case. This does not happen with, maybe you just don't have the gift of faith. That's okay. Instead of trying to temper Jesus' statements here, instead of trying to water down what Jesus has said, it would be more wise for us to just identify those within the body who have this special gift and to ask them to pray for our situation. When we can't seem to break through, when we don't know which way to go to those with this gift of faith to receive prayer, to receive help. That's why God gave us the gift. It's to pray one another through. He said it's for the common good. It's for your good. God has given the church the gift of faith to help each one of us along our journey by removing obstacles and roadblocks out of our way. Do you know anybody like that? People who just call and God seems to answer immediately. Do you know any people like that? If you know people like that and you're going through struggles right now, you need to find those people and ask them to pray for you. That's why God gave them the gift, not for themselves, not just to enrich themselves alone, but to be a blessing to the entire body of Christ. And you know what? The more I research these spiritual gifts, the more I'm coming to the conclusion that Jesus Christ intends for our faith walk to be far less difficult, to be far less complicated than it is. Jesus Christ intends for our walk with him to be far less difficult, far less troubling than it is for many of us. God has given us all of the necessary equipment to be able to do his will and to live peaceful lives, regardless of what environment we find ourselves immersed in. God has designed the church in such a way that we could be self-sustaining. When we learn how to honor every one of the spiritual gifts that Jesus Christ has given to his church, I think many of us will begin to find this walk with Christ to be much more joyful than we may currently experience it. This gift of faith could certainly make the walk with Christ a lot easier. Someone said at that point, you know, the walk isn't supposed to be easy, Calvin. It's not about being easy. You've got to do the work. You've got to suffer through. You've got to struggle. It's not supposed to be easy. But Jesus begs to differ with us here. Jesus says this in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me." This is what he says to us. "For I am meek and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." The walk with Jesus Christ is not supposed to be a burdensome walk. But many of us, I dare say today, most of us feel burdened down by our faith. feel constantly challenged and troubled within. And Jesus says, that's not the way it's supposed to be. I made it in such a way where the yoke should be easy. It should fit you easily. The burden should be much lighter than it is. You're making it much more complicated than it should be. There are many Christians like this today who live Christianity in their head so much that they make it so confusing, so difficult, so frustrating for their own selves. And Jesus is saying, you're making it much more complicated than it's supposed to be. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. When I'm feeling stressed, I'm feeling trouble, Jesus says, well, listen, I put spiritual gifts within the body. If you would just stop being an introvert and stop trying to take care of everything on your own and find those people with the spiritual gifts and tell them your problem and ask them for prayer. I've given you all everything you need. But each one of you wants to be an individual and walk this walk alone. It wasn't designed to be that way. It's designed where we should walk together in interdependence and the one hand is a blessing to the other. And where I am weak, I find someone in the body who is strong and they cover me. And that's where this person with the gift of faith comes in. When life is hard, when you can't find your way, when you don't understand what's happening in your life, this person with the gift of faith doesn't come and give you counsel. This is not the word of wisdom or the word of knowledge. No, the person with the word of faith just grabs your hand and says, let's pray about this. And I am confident that as we pray, Jesus Christ is going to answer. Lord, I don't know what this situation is all about, and it really doesn't matter. I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you give light to this dark situation, that you would remove this burden, that you would release this bondage in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm confident that it's done. Now you just wait to see the manifestation of the glory of God. This is the gift of faith. And it works. Rest, ease, lightness. This is supposed to be our experience within the kingdom of God. And as we make full use of all of the spiritual gifts that God has given His church, we will find that rest, we will find that ease, we will find that lightness of heart and of spirit. So what is faith? The biblical definition of faith, as we all know, is found in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Now faith is the certainty of things hoped for. Faith is the certainty of things hoped for. The Greek term translated certainty here can also be defined as the substantial nature, the essence. Faith is the essence of the thing that I am hoping for. Faith is the building blocks of the things that I am hoping for. You know that everything that is and everything that will exist in the future has a substantial nature. Everything that is, everything that will exist in the future has an essence already. The Wright brothers had the essence of an airplane before they ever created it. The essence was the idea in their own heads. It was invisible, but they could see it. And what they saw in their hearts and minds, they manifested in the world of reality. What was invisible in them became visible in the world. That's how faith works. Faith is being able to see a thing in the invisible realm and calling it to manifest itself in this world. That's what faith is. That's what faith does. Faith is the certainty, the assuredness, the confidence of the thing I'm hoping for. Faith is not just merely believing or thinking. Faith is a journey from believing to beholding. Let me say that again. Faith is a journey from believing to beholding. It doesn't stop at just what I believe, how I feel about it. Faith produces the thing that I believe. That's faith. It's very interesting that even God uses faith. Did you know that? Even God uses faith. Look at what it says, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3. By faith we understand that the world has been created by the word of God, so that what is seen has not been made out of things that are visible. This is his explanation of how faith works. God is sitting in heaven, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and there is no light, and there is no earth, and everything is void. And God says, let there be light. And this invisible essence of light becomes a reality that manifests itself in the visible world. That's nice. Let there be a firmament between the heavens and the earth. And all of a sudden the clouds begin to appear. Let there be giraffes and monkeys and everything. As he's calling these things out of the ideal realm, they're beginning to manifest themselves in the real world. That is faith. So that before I have the job, I see the essence of the job in the spirit. And I simply call it down by faith to earth. It already exists. All I'm doing is calling it to manifest itself in my life. That's faith. That is power. And when we in the church exercise the gift of faith in the world, I am telling you, the world will be beating down our doors to get in when they see that there is a supernatural capacity that they have that I can't understand. This must be God. Yeah, man, when you're out on the street witnessing to somebody, they're telling you all of their problems, what's going on in their lives, and you just stop the conversation. It happened to me just last week. Talking to a brother who had all kinds of trauma in his life and all kinds of problems, and we prayed together at the end of our conversation. And when I got finished praying, he looked up and said, man, I just feel like something's just been released or lifted off of me. That is the power of faith. I'm not guessing. I'm not wishful thinking. By the authority in the Lord Jesus Christ, I command that thing that is not to become. Have you done that before? Anybody done that before? Really now, come on, somebody. Yes, yes, you ain't get. Anybody else? You gotta try it. Let me, I'm gonna leave our program for a minute. Brothers and sisters, I'm telling you now, don't take this one for granted. There are some of us in here right now going through things and we need to access this faith. There are some of us sitting in the darkness right now, and we need to access this faith. This is about life. This isn't about magic. This is about trickery. This is what the Holy Spirit has delivered to his church. When my marriage is not going well, and me and my wife are at odds with one another, you know what I do? I go into my room, and I close my door, and I say what it's going to be. No, it's not going this way. We're not going to keep fighting about this. In the name of Jesus Christ, Lord, I'm asking you to change this situation around. And I walk back out of my room. My wife has already forgotten about it. I'm serious. Commanding your environment is a part of your kingdom authority. And too many of us don't walk in our authority, and we're being run over by life. We're being run over by the enemy. We're being run over all the time. Woe is me, woe is me. Sometimes the Holy Spirit is saying, you're suffering going through that because you refuse to believe that you have power. You do not know who you are in the kingdom of God. That's the reason for this. You don't know who you are. We are ambassadors of Jesus Christ, and we are authorized and licensed to call things into this world. That is our responsibility as being part of the kingdom of God, to bring the reign of Jesus Christ into the world. That's what it is. My house is not going to be in the darkness. No, I'm not going to sit in darkness. The devil is a liar. When the enemy comes from my family, we're going to have a big fight. This is not going to go well. I'm not going to sit by and watch my people be devastated and consumed. I'm going to stand up in my house by authority in Jesus Christ and command this situation has to change. I'm not negotiating with anything. And I'm not arguing with my family members. I am standing in my authority as a child of God and demanding that the essence of this peace that we need in my house comes to fruition now. That's war. That is canceling what the enemy wants me to believe is reality and demanding that the thing I see in my spirit comes to pass. That my enemies be scattered. That I have freedom and peace within. You have faith. You may not have the gift of faith, but you have enough faith to do that, to defend yourself in the kingdom of God. The enemy does not have the right to cross the kingdom's boundaries and come and snatch me and push me around and beat me up. He doesn't have authority to do that. The reason he's doing that is because I am not abiding in the kingdom. I'm on his territory, thinking his thoughts, playing his games, trying to figure things out. And God is saying, stop trying to figure it out. Just step back into the kingdom. He can't come across this line. That's why prayer is so essential. Because when I am praying, I leave this world. And I leave my troubles. On my knees in my prayer closet, I leave this present reality. And I ask God, show me your vision for my reality. And as he shows me that vision for my reality, I call it into existence in Jesus' name. That is the gift of faith. And I'm only pressing this today now. I'm not a big faith preaching guy, you know that. I'm pressing this today because I know of too many situations right now in our congregation that need to change. You can get all the counseling you want. You can get all the advice you want. All that stuff is good and fine, but there comes a time where I'm not trying to figure this out anymore. This is going to change. Are you there yet? Do you believe God enough now to demand change? You have the power to demand change. Doesn't always happen overnight. No, it doesn't always happen overnight. This is not magic. I was going through for 9 months, troubled in my spirit for 9 months. Couldn't find my way out of the darkness. Every day I'm up early in the morning doing warfare. If you're gonna take me out, you're gonna take me out with a fight. You're not gonna shoot me in the back. You're gonna shoot me in my face. I'm gonna be right in your face, devil, telling you that you're not gonna do this to me. This is not happening to me. I am a child of God. I'm going to stand my ground. I'm not moving one inch. You have to pass. This has to flee. This has to stop. Day after day after day after day after day. Driving to preach in the morning with the bottle of apple cider vinegar because I would get these panic attacks and my blood pressure would just shoot up sky high and I would have to drink some vinegar, apple cider vinegar to bring my blood pressure down. Did y'all hear what I just said? Going to preach. By faith. Not looking at my present reality. Forget about this. This is not what I need to see. But I am calling those things that are not as though they were, and I'm going to continue to conduct my life as a child of God, as a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ, until this passes. This has to pass. It's time for some of us to get up and fight. But it takes faith. It takes faith to fight. It takes believing and knowing that God loves you, not only that God likes you. God is in your corner. God is on your side. I don't care what yesterday said. I don't care what happened to me yesterday. God is with me today. And by the grace of God, I'm going to walk out of this, and my loved ones are going to walk out of this. I'm not leaving anybody behind. All of us have challenges. All of us have struggles. You're not the only one. Life is full of challenges and problems and worries and stress and strife. I'm not going to stop moving forward because I'm troubled. No, I'm going to move forward in my weakness and do the will of God. You can only do that when you have faith, certainty. 9 months in, I'm so troubled in my spirit, man. Something's got a hold of me and I can't seem to shake it, because at a certain age, your past begins to come back to you. Your past starts coming back and you have to start dealing with stuff that you tried to hide in religion and you can't hide it anymore. And now reality starts catching up with you and you start getting all fearful and anxiety and upset. This happens to all of us. It should happen to all of us. Most humans go through this. You come to these roadblocks and it's like, I can't move forward. What is wrong with me? What is going on in my life? And I'm walking the floor in my house in the name of Jesus Christ. Whatever this is about, you have to go. I got too much to do to be burdened down with this. I am not dealing with this anymore in the name of Jesus Christ. One night I'm walking through my house, brothers and sisters, this is the truth. I'm walking through my house and I'm frustrated because this is going on too long. I can't seem to figure this out. I'm walking through my house frustrated. God, I'm tired. I'm tired of fighting this now. Are you going to come through or not? It took 9 months for my faith to start shaking, but after 9 months, I was like, man, I'm kind of wondering now, Jesus, where you at? I stopped in the middle of my floor. I got to tell you all how this happened. I stopped in the middle of my floor. The Holy Spirit just stopped me. And somewhere from deep within me, from a place to this day I cannot seem to find again, but from somewhere deep inside of me, I said, God, if this is your will for my life, I accept it as it is. I know who I am in Jesus Christ. And if I have to be frustrated for the rest of my life, it doesn't matter. Just be sure you get all the glory. That's the end of this. I'm not fighting anymore. And in a moment, the Holy Spirit relieved all of that. That's all it was about. It was God giving me a promotion, sending me through the fire in order to try me so that I could come forth as pure gold. And when I finally came to the place where this present reality doesn't even matter, I trust you with my life. Whatever you want to do with it is fine with me. You're in control. Have your way. Okay, that's all. You passed the test. Go ahead. Whatever you're going through right now is only a test for the moment. Access the faith that you have in Jesus Christ and stand still in certainty that God is going to come through for you every time. And I'm telling you from experience, brothers and sisters, he'll come through. He'll come through. I was praying for Taylor this morning for a promotion. I'm looking for it. I'm looking for that. I'm not in my prayer closet just talking to myself. I'm talking to God saying, he needs a promotion. Make it so in Jesus' name. Watch what happens. Watch what happens. And when you see it happen, I want you to look at that and say, wow, this is reality. This is not just religion. God actually intervenes in history, in real life. He does it all the time. He'll do it for you. Stop letting the devil beat you up. Stop letting your own mind confuse you and frustrate you all. Stop it. Stop it. It's time to grow up. God has sent that challenge to you only to perfect you. That's the only reason he sent it, to perfect your faith. Nothing else. There's nothing to figure out. There's nothing to figure out. Let the pain do its work so it can pass on and you can go on in Jesus. Don't procrastinate trying to figure out, when I was 12 years old, this happened. Yeah, a lot of things happened when we were 12 years old. Yeah. Forgive, let it go, trust God to heal you, and keep moving forward. That's what we do. That's what we have to learn to do. I'm praying for all of us. I'm praying to God just this morning that God would release the spiritual gift of faith in this congregation. To all of us, I want all of us to have the gift of faith. Not just optimism, not just feeling good and feeling positive, never mind that. I'm talking about true faith that can call things that are not as though they were. That faith. Faith in God, faith in the character of God, faith in the promises of God. Certainty, a stability. I'm asking for it for all of us. I hope you're open to it. To see God do the impossible in your life. It's time for a change. I was an interim pastor for 16 years. And I love interim pastorate because you never have to stay in the same place more than 6 months. You always get to leave in 6 months. You go somewhere else and do something else. Then you do that for 6 months, go somewhere else, do something else. You meet different people all the time, very fun, and, you know. So now that I'm a pastor in the same place for 5 years now, right, I start getting antsy. Okay, we've been here long enough, Jesus. I understand where we are right now. It's time to go forward. It's time for us to go somewhere else now. I have to stay on the move. I've got to go higher. We've got to go higher. The place we're in is a good place, but there's more to the kingdom of God than what we're seeing right now. I'm asking God to release the gift of faith in this place, a spiritual faith that begins to ask God with confidence for the things that we desire and to watch God's will come to pass. That's my prayer for you. I hope that's your prayer as well. And let's see what God will do. If we turn our plates down every Friday, just until noon, just fast until noon, and just read our Bibles just till noon, just seek the face of God just till noon, let's see what God will do. Cornerstone Community Church, God has gifted us in so many ways. If we attain this gift of faith, man, we will be able to move mountains for Jesus Christ in Chicago. To help stop these murders, not by carrying around picket signs, but by picketing in the spirit and marking our territory and saying, you can't do this here. As kingdom people of God, standing up and taking authority of our region. It's possible, if you believe. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, we thank you because your promises are true. Your word is true. Your truth endures throughout all generations. I pray for my brothers and sisters this morning. I pray for deliverance. I pray for a change. I pray for peace. I pray, Lord God, that you'll remove the roadblocks, remove the stumbling blocks, remove the pressure, remove the stress. Give peace to my brothers and sisters. Anoint us with the gift of faith so that we're able to call those things that are not as though they were, so that we can help our families and bless our families, so that we can do the work and the will of God in the world. I pray against confusion this morning. I pray against the enemy who's come in like a flood, seeking to devour your people. I pray for us this morning that your protective hedge of grace will be around us, that you will encompass us on every side, that you'll put our enemies to flight, that you'll clear our minds, and that you will give us peace. Peace in the name of Jesus Christ. I pray for us this morning, Lord Jesus, for our physical bodies, that you would bring healing to our bodies, that you would give us the ability to rest in you. And as you blessed us, Lord Jesus Christ, I pray that you'll continue to bless us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. That your hand will be upon us and upon our lives. That you'll break down the walls, Lord Jesus Christ, that are holding us hostage, robbing us of our peace, robbing us of our joy, robbing us of our hope. I pray for us this morning. I thank you for the blessing that you've given to us. Thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, for the healing that you've given, for what you've already done. I pray for Robert's grandchild. I pray for Jane and Robert's grandchild. Lord Jesus Christ, you'll give him comfort, that you'll give him a joyous life, that you'll give him peace. I pray for Tom this morning. Pray, Lord Jesus Christ, you'll allow him to enjoy the city of Chicago like he has for so many years, that you'll give him confidence, that you'll renew his hope and his joy in you. I pray for us this morning, Lord. I pray for you. I pray this morning, Lord God, that you will show up in this place. And that these prayers will not just be prayers prayed out of sentiment, but that we will begin to see the manifestation of the fruit of faith in this house. That families will come back together. That anger and animosity will decrease and cease. By the power of your Holy Spirit, Lord Jesus Christ, we will walk out of our present darkness and into your marvelous light. Faithful are you who promised. Help us to be faithful to wait for the manifestation of the kingdom of God in this place. In Jesus' name.